Comment ça va, cher? Say, ça va bien. It's Friday the 13th. It's the last day of our wonderful week, and we're crying, and we're so unhappy, but we're going to pass a good time tonight anyway, right? Yeah. Now, I want to kind of get you ready for this night of music and picking and smiling and singing. I want to tell you a little story first. I was coming out of the kitchen the other day. I've been helping Miss Pat and Debbie do a little cooking in there, and I came out, and a woman came up to me. She said, J.J. Renault, that's me. I said, yeah. She said, I bet you got some good recipes. I bet you know how to cook so good. I bet your mama passed all her cooking secrets on to you. I said, no, I don't think you want my mama's recipes. She said, what you talking about? She said, don't all Cajuns cook real good? I said, wrong. So we're going to have our last mini class of the week on Cajun cooking and burnt food. Now, I know a lot of you have seen this burnt this and that out there, and they say it's Cajun. Well, I ate it when I was a child. This is true. I ate burnt food, but it wasn't on purpose. You see, my mama is a terrible, horrible cook. Now, she means well. She wants to cook. But the problem is, my mama wasn't born to be a cook. She was born to be a singer and a musician. And, well, she'd be at the stove, and she'd be cooking those beans. The next thing you know, her toe was tapping. She'd be humming. Then she had to go grab her guitar. And before you knew it, we had burned beans. See, she invented it before Chef Paul Prudhomme ever thought of it. She was ahead of her time. Now, she also hated the whole long process of cooking, so she liked shortcuts. If it said to dice finely, well, she'd get her knife and it's like, hiya, hiya. She was like samurai Cajun cook here, folks. She hated to spend money on extra grocery. So if it called for, say, cooking sherry, she'd say, well, I got some Dixie beer. I'll just try that. It's all alcohol, isn't it? Listen, my mama came up with some terrible, dreadful food. It's amazing I survived into adulthood. One time she decided she was going to save money. She was going to bake some bread. Well, I mean, she made those loaves of bread. They looked so pretty and nice and fine. And she put them in the oven to let them rise. And, well, she kind of got busy playing a little Hank Williams there on the side. Well, we'll just let it rise again. And then she got onto another song she was writing. And that bread must have rose 20 times. Well, finally she baked it, took it out of the oven. It looked so good. And we all went to get a bite of it, and it was hard as rock. Well, we had to throw it out. In the country, you just go out your back porch and you sail it off. Well, we had this big old hound dog, and he saw that bread come flying through the air, and he thought, ooh, gonna have me something good to eat. Dog leaped in the air, and he just missed his mark. That bread wonked him upside the head. That dog fell down just like this. It was pitiful. And then there was my mother's famous carrot cake. She would make carrot cake, and we would never touch the stuff. I grew up hating carrot cake. I was a grown-up woman before some people talked me into tasting carrot cake again, and I took a bite of it, and I said, well, where's the carrots? Hiya! But the worst thing of all, I mean, listen, a cookbook in my mama's hands is a lethal weapon. But the worst time of all was when she was going to can some food. Well, there she was. She made all these jars of chow chow up, that relish. And she put labels on them like they do. Hers should have had a skull and a crossbone on them, however. Well, nobody wanted to be the first to eat this deadly chow chow, you know. Well, we finally ended up putting it out on the garage, out in the shelf with all the other lethal chemicals and spray paint and such. But she was not going to throw it away. She lived through the Depression, and you just don't throw food away. Well, one day we went out there, and we saw that the tops had gone. Well, not a good sign. So we decided we're going to have to dispose of this deadly chow chow. Well, Daddy dug a hole out back from the back porch. Good piece away, and we buried all those jars of chow chow in that big hole. It was kind of like a toxic waste site back there. Well, a few weeks passed, and it was in August, and it was real hot, and we were sitting on the back, and our gardener had come in, and we were shucking some corn, and all of a sudden out there we heard this kind of sound. It was like a rumbling in the earth, And then finally we heard boom, 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 boom. And we looked out and the ground was sinking. Boom, 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 boom. And by the time it was all over, there was a big old sinkhole. Well, it's true, my mama is a bad, bad cook. But you know, she gave me something else that stuck to my ribs better than food ever could. She gave me music. She gave me Hank Williams. She gave me the songs and stories of my people, Les Acadiens. And you know, that's something that you can't buy and something you can't find. It's just something you're born with. And I get together with my lady friends, and we talk about our mamas, all daughters and sons, I suppose, do. And I say, what's your mama do? And they say, oh, my mama, they say, well, she just kind of cooks and cleans. They say, how about your mama? They say, what does she do? I say, well, my mama, she doesn't cook, but she sure does burn. Are you ready for some tasty music? Are you ready for some picking? Meet Mr. Wayne Henderson. We want to do a little song for all the mamas who played guitar between the dishes, who squeezed that squeeze box between diapering the babies. For all the mamas who sang on the porches. Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? Mama, don't you think you oughta find us a brand new recipe? I got a hot rod board and a $2 bill, and I know a spot right over the hill. The dancing there and the jamming spree. You wanna have fun? Come along with me. You're singing, hey, good looking. You can sing it. What you got? Uh-oh, how's about cooking something up with me? Henderson, make them feel welcome.
Thank you. I want to get a couple of buddies of mine that one of them drove all the way from Kingsport, Tennessee up here to pick this set with me tonight, and I want to make him welcome, Mr. Greg Cornett right here. A lot of you know this bass player back here. He's one of the sawdust serenaders from right down under the floor down here in the shop, Mr. Lenny Perry. We're going to try to pick you a few old-timey tunes here and some hot licks of one sort or another. Greg will get some over here anyway. And he's going to do some whistling after a while. That's what I wanted you all to hear. He's got his watch out. Tell us when 20 minutes is up for sure. And I really admire people who can whistle. Now, I never could call my dogs. I don't know. Sometimes I'd get a whistle out, and sometimes I couldn't. I think that's another reason I couldn't do any better with the women, too. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to pick you a tune here called Down Yonder, and then Greg's going to do you some of that whistling.
Thank you.
Thank y'all. Boy, y'all are a nice bunch, I tell you. Maybe I'll get over my nerves these first two tunes or so and get to doing a little better. Right now, Greg over here is going to do some whistling. This is my favorite whistling tune right here because you hear it every time you see the Globetrotters play basketball. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, that's about more than I can keep up with there, Wayne. I live about 100 miles from Wayne in Kingsport, Tennessee. That's right close to Bristol, which is on the state line of Virginia and Tennessee. And that's where, as you might know, the first country music, what they call country music recordings were made, the Carter family and Jimmy Rogers, among a lot of others. There were just scads of people that came down to there to make some recordings. And in fact, the Carter home place is very close to where I live, just a couple of ridges over. And Jimmy Rogers as well came over and did some recording. So we want to try to do a Jimmy Rogers song for you. He remains pretty popular. I was reading a short story about him. He never toured extensively, obviously was never on television. He did make a very short movie, but he was very popular in his day, and he had the finest home, the finest automobile, and the finest instruments that money could buy. So even in his short lifespan, I believe he was like 33 when he died of TB, he managed to make quite an impression. And he had an admiration for the hobos and the railroads, so we want to sing this Hobo's Lullaby. Tonight as I lay on my boxcar, just waiting for a train to pass by, what will become of the hobo whenever our time comes to die? There's a master up yonder in heaven, got a place that we might call our home. We have to work for a living, or can we continue to roam? Will there be any freight trains in heaven? Any boxcars in which we might hide? Will there be any tough cops or brickmen? Will they tell us that we cannot ride? Will the hobo chum with the rich man? Will we always have money to spare? Boxcars in which we might hide? Will there be any tough cops or brakemen? Will they tell us that we cannot ride? Will the hobo chum with the rich man? Will we always have money to spare?
Thank you.
Got chill bumps all over me. I'm going to try to do you a tune here. It's an old, this is a bluegrass tune. Now, we all got to be, any of you that are staying over, ready for bluegrass week next week, an old time. It's a Bill Monroe tune. I don't know whether I never get through it or not. I'll just give it a try. One called Wheel Hoss. Thank you. We sure do appreciate y'all being so nice to us and making us feel good. I miss a lick every once in a while, but I guess that's the way of it. You know? We're going to do another Carter Family tune now. And, see how much time we got. We got time for me to tell a tale of some sort.
I believe so.
Yeah. I want to hear.
Yeah.
That cooking, right? J.J. was talking about a while ago, reminded me of this time when I went up to visit Lenny. Now, Lenny lives way back in the mountain back here. And another thing reminded me of is I went down to Scotty's just, a week of the dining hall. It's wonderful food over there and everything, but you just need a change once in a while. And I went down there and they had cornbread and beans. And that's one of my favorite things. If it hadn't been for cornbread and beans, I wouldn't have been here. I know that. And that's one of my favorite foods. And what I'm leading up to. Anyway, Lenny a while back told me, why don't you come up and visit, and we'll play some music, and we'll have supper, and you can spend the night with us. And I said, that sounds like fun. I'd like to do that. I've never been up there. So I went up to Lenny's and got up there, and he'd lived in a one-room cabin way back in the mountain up there. And nice little cabin, but just had one room in it. And so we picked a few tunes, and it got supper time. And Lenny's wife is known as one of the best cooks in West Virginia anyway. And when we got to eat supper, I looked, and she had cornbread and beans. There ain't nothing I like better than that anyway. It had a slab of ham cooked up in it. And so we had a fine supper, and I was ashamed to eat all I wanted of those beans. And, you know, I didn't want to act like I'd never had anything to eat, but when I get around them, I can't help it, you know. And anyway, we had supper, and we picked just about every tune that we knew to play, and it got time to go to bed, and I looked there, and there wasn't but one bed in that room in there. And I said, Lenny, I was, looking at your cabin, I saw a whole pile of nice quilts and blankets over there. I said, you just pile me up some here in front of the stove, and I'll lay right here on the floor. In front of the stove, and I'll be fine right there. And Lenny said, no, we don't treat company like that. This old bed over here is big enough for all of us. And you just lay right over here in front of us, and it won't bother me a bit, or it won't bother us at all. And I said, no, I can't do that. He said, sure, go ahead. I mean, it won't bother us. You don't want to lay on the floor. And I said, well, if you're sure, it won't bother you. And so we all got laid down. There was room, for all of us. And we just got in there, and Lenny's dogs out on the back porch started raising all kinds of sand. I heard them right there, and Lenny said, it's that bear. He said, it's that bear again. He's going to get all my little pigs this time. He grabbed a shotgun off the wall, broke it down. If it's loaded, I'll get him. Lenny took off after that bear. And all those dogs, they went clean over the top of the back of the mountain, where we went out of hearing. Just barely hearing while Lenny went all the way out of hearing. Heard Lenny and those dogs chasing that bear off of the top. Lenny's wife leaned over there and said, now's your chance if you don't waste no time. And, By the time old Lenny got back to the house, I'd done eat up every one of them beans and the cornbread and put the bowl in the cabin. Here's my favorite Carter Family tune right here.
Of jasper shine unmade by human hands. 100 miles, its gates are wide, abound an entrance there. With 50 miles of elbow room on either side to spare. When the gates swing wide on the other side, far beyond the sunset sea, there'll be room to spare as we enter. For you and room for me. Oh, the gates are wide on the other side, where the flowers ever bloom. On the right hand, on the left hand, 50 miles of elbow room. Sometimes I'm cramped and crowded here and long for elbow room. I want to reach for altitude where the fiery flowers bloom. It won't be long before I walk into that city fair. With 50 miles of elbow room on either side to spare. When the gates swing wide on the other side, far beyond the sunset sea, there'll be room to spare as we enter there. Room for you, room for me. Oh, the gates are wide on the other side, where the flowers ever bloom. On the right hand, on the left hand, 50 miles of elbow room. On the right hand, on the left hand, 50 miles of elbow room.
Thank you. If you notice, I'm careful with this guitar here. That's one that Wayne made. I wish you could all see it up close because it's a real beauty. And he made that one that he plays there as well. And he's here teaching a guitar building course, as I'm sure you know. So that's how come, part of why this guitar sounds so good, Wayne made both of them.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate that commercial there. And I'll pay you later. We might take that guitar out to the lobby or something. If somebody wants to look at it, I'd be glad to show it to them. I'm not trying to sell you guitars because we're backed up anyway, but I'm proud of it, and I'd like for you to see it if you want to see it. And I think we have a new record out there, too. If anybody just, you know, really wanting to waste some money or something, we sure appreciate y'all being so nice to us, and we'll be out after a while to talk to you. And thanks to Greg and Lenny for helping me out up here tonight, too. And thanks to... Thanks to Flawn for being such a great sound man, too. Well, we're about to run out of time. We'll just get right with this. And we'll do this one for Lee, and you, and you, and you. Black Mountain Rag.
Wayne Henderson and Company. We're going to make a few little stage changes here, and while they're doing that, I wanted to tell you about a Cajun revenge story that happened in my family. Not too long ago, I was home visiting, and I ran into my Uncle Roland that was coming out of the bank, and he started telling me this story. Seems that he and my Aunt Blanche had planned this trip. They wanted to go to Florida so she could see the real ocean. You have to understand, South Louisiana, it just sort of goes, there's no true beach to go out and see the waves roll in. Well, she had never seen the real ocean, so they had this dream vacation, and they were going to go to Florida so she could see the sea there. Only problem was they didn't have quite enough money. Well, he's a shrimper, and you know they have their in season, their off season, and they were just a little low of fund, so he thought he would go down to the bank and get them a loan. Well, he went down there and he talked to the man, and the banker with his nice suit on said, no, we can't give you the loan. You're a shrimper, and we know that you have in and off seasons, and you might not pay back the loan. Well, he denied him this money for the trip. Well, that very day, I was walking out, and my uncle tells me this story. We meet there at the bank, and I said, but Uncle Roland, I said, you've got a real bad temper, and you don't look unhappy at all. In fact, you're smiling. How come you're not upset? He says, whoo, he says, I'm not worried about that thing. He says, you see, I just got me 2 pounds of shrimp, and I made a deposit in my safe deposit box, and me and your Aunt Blanche are going to Florida, and we won't be back for 3 weeks. Now, if shrimp start appearing all over the country in bank deposit boxes, we'll know who started that fad.
How are we coming?
We're just about ready, and while they're putting the finishing touches on the mics, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our next performer. This is a man I'd heard about for many, many, many years. And I know that many of you have heard of him as well. He's kind of like a chameleon. He seems to be able to change from one kind of music with the kind of ease that a trapeze artist uses in the air. And he never seems to
to miss a lick. But he doesn't just make those changes. He does them with heart, and he does them with soul, and he does them with dignity. And I know that Cajun people very much respect this man, because we know that ultimately he not only respects us, but he respects himself. Please make welcome Mr. Tracy Schwarz.
Hello, everybody. It's good to see so many survivors. And I can tell you the reason why, because it means if I can see you all, I'm a survivor too. Well, I'm sort of switching hats tonight and having a good time doing it too. I'd like to start out with an unaccompanied song. It comes from way, way back somewhere, but was collected by the Library of Congress and can be heard there too, sung by a man by the name of Clay Walters from Salyersville, Kentucky. So its title is So Early in the Spring. So early, early in the spring, I pressed abroad to serve the King, to leave my dearest dear behind, who had often told me her heart was mine. I sailed all over the sea, took every kind opportunity to write love letters to my dearest dear, but nothing from her could I hear. At length I went to her father's home, and for my loved one did only call. Her father made me this reply: go away, young man, she don't deny. My daughter's married, I do declare, to a richer man than you by fair. My daughter's married for a term of life, therefore go seek you another wife. Oh, curse all gold and silver too, likewise to a girl that won't prove true. I'll dip my wings where the bullets fly. I'll sail on the sea till the day I die. Oh, stop, you false young man. If you wrote letters, I never got them. The fault is great, but none of mine. Don't reflect so hard on the female kind. Thank you. Well, here's a song I wrote back in 1965. Living and attempting to farm up in York County, Pennsylvania. In the summer when we had a whole inch of rain between Memorial Day and Labor Day. So it was pretty much like working in the sand. And there I was out on the tractor just going back and forth for some unknown reason, dragging the disc through this near sand, looking at it. All of a sudden, I started getting into a rhythm, you know. And pretty soon, a tune started going through my head. And then the words came with a tune. And it came out like this: story of the poor old dirt farmer. And it goes on and on and on. Thank you.
How the poor old dirt farmer, he lost all his corn. Now where's the money to pay off his loan? The loan that he signed to pay off his corn, to pay off his loan. Now the poor old dirt farmer, it's dry as a bone. The only thing growing is a 10-pound stone. And when it gets round, it roll it on down to the tax man in town. Now the poor old dirt farmer, how bad he does feel. He upset his tractor, got caught in the wheel. And now his head is the shape of the tread, but it still isn't dead. Now the poor old dirt farmer, he lives all alone. His wife and kids left him and took all he owned. And on the next round, they took all they found that wasn't nailed down. Now the poor old dirt farmer, he lost all his corn. Now where's the money to pay off his loan? Loan it is signed to pay off his corn, to pay off his loan, to pay off his corn, to pay off his loan, to pay off his corn, to pay off his corn.
And on and on. Thank you very much. I've always admired the music of the Carter family, but yet I haven't done the research on this one to find out whether they actually recorded this song or not. But I do know that Uncle Dave Macon recorded it, and a very, very fine recording he did make of it too. It's called Wait Till the Clouds Roll By.
Jenny, my own true loved one, I'm going far away. Out on the boundary billows, out on the dark blue sea. How I will miss you, my darling. That's where the storm's raging high. Cheer up and don't be lonely. Wait till the clouds roll by. Wait till the clouds roll by, Jenny. Wait till the clouds roll by. Jenny, my own true loved one, wait till the clouds roll by. Mm-hmm. many went far from thee, love. I'm on the ocean deep. Each thought of thee forever, loving sweet vigil keep. Then will I come to you, darling. Take courage, dear, and never sigh. Cheer up and don't be lonely. Wait till the clouds roll by. Wait till the clouds roll by, Jenny. Wait till the clouds roll by.